Hey, Weekly Pulse on all things green and gold. A different expression every week from the three-time Wisconsin sports writer of the year, Jason Wilde. I'm Alex Strofe, hanging out with you ahead of Week 7 in the NFL. Packers face their toughest test yet this Sunday at Lambeau Field as they play host to the Houston Texans. Jason, good day, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm lovely, man. It's a good week when you're coming off of a week where you're watching stress-free football outside of the kicker position, which we'll get to in a second. But the Packers putting together a complete 60 minutes, playing complimentary football, and dominating that game against Arizona last week, it makes for an easy week for me. I feel really good coming out of that performance.
Oh, that's because you're a fan.
Yeah.
It affects your mood the following week then, and during the game on Sunday, you don't have any angst or anxiety or apprehension or nervousness. So, yeah, I'm glad that they could provide that for you. That's awesome.
Yeah, you're mocking me because it's sad that I'm
not at all.
I'm
not at all. I just didn't know what you meant. It's like, Why is it a great week because they won? That's weird, but now I understand.
Yes. No, it's probably sad how much the Green Bay Packers can affect my mood on any given week.
Hey, look, thank God there are so many people like you. I wouldn't have a job if there wasn't. So I appreciate that. I just didn't. You started in a place that I wasn't quite prepared for, and I can't quite identify with. That's all. We're all good. I'm glad that it was stress-free because I'm guessing on Sunday, more than likely, it's going to be a lot more stressful for you and many of the other white-outed fans that will be taking in the game.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And, you know, I've said a few times this week, I think there are, especially when you're a fan of a good team like the Green Bay Packers, there are maybe one, two, and at best three games in an NFL season where you can quote-unquote call it a stress-free watch. Sunday against the Cardinals felt that way. I never felt like the game was in jeopardy. I felt like the Packers were in total control throughout the entirety. And obviously that led to a big win against the Arizona Cardinals. So to see them put together a complete 60 minutes, obviously a good indication of the direction this team is headed.
Yeah, I mean, look, they got out to a 24-0 lead. They made Kyler Murray look very pedestrian, which I don't know how good Kyler Murray is. Like, on balance, I would say that he clearly can make some magical plays, but whether or not he can be a consistently good NFL quarterback, I don't necessarily think so. But they played well on defense. They played extremely well on offense. They got the Romeo Doubs healing tour off to a good start. Special teams, obviously. The Narv dog missed the field goal that ended up being the beginning of the end for him. He made his last kick, though, before he said goodbye. So I'm glad for that. It's kind of like when you're shooting hoops, you always want to leave on a make. but, you know, they did have the fumble that didn't count on the punt return, on which Jaden Reed got injured momentarily. But then they turned around and had the big from Keyshawn Nixon. So, yes, you know, I use this in my State Journal game story. You know, Matt LaFleur, we wanted to play a four quarters complimentary game. Yeah, duh. Every coach wants that. But how often do they actually get it? On Sunday, they got it.
Yeah, more often than not, you don't get it, obviously. And that's what makes the NFL so great. It is really, really hard to dominate. And that feels as if what the Packers did against the Arizona Cardinals in Week 6, you're right, though. Week 7 will not be that case, I would imagine, because Houston is a really good team, and they've got a lot good going for them, both offensively and defensively. Huh? They can bring pressure. When it comes to a 1-2 punch in the backfield, we talked a lot last week about Kyler Murray and James Conner. C.J. Stroud and Joe Mixon are a better version of that. And they have a ton of receivers. Obviously, they'll be without Nico Collins this week, who was placed on IR a couple weeks ago. But all in all, this is a really formidable opponent and a tough challenge for the Packers. But for me, and I'm curious if you agree with this, I'm really excited to see what Jeff Hafley's defense is made of against one of the best young offenses in the league. Because while they've looked impressive through 6 weeks, right, 17 turnovers for this group, I don't know that they faced an offense this good since week one. And that was a game in Brazil. It's a week one game. It's on a bad turf. I don't think they've played an offense this good since Philadelphia. So I'm really excited to see what Jeff Hafley's defense is made of, or maybe not so excited, depending on the outcome.
Yeah, look, I thought for the first time, we really saw what it looks like when it's at its best. You know, they've had some trouble stopping the run. Well, they didn't have any trouble with that. Now, they also got up to a 24-0 lead. So, you know, James Conner was not really a factor. They didn't even bother to give him the ball, quite frankly, after that. I think he had, what, 7 carries in the game? So that's part of it. But that, like, I don't want to be dismissive in any way. Like, they didn't get any interceptions, so they forced 3 fumbles instead. Like, I just really like where their arrow is pointing. And yes, the Wildeism of growth is not linear continues to apply. I think Edgerrin Cooper, who had the most snaps that he's had, is trending in a very positive direction. I love that they are finding different ways to get combinations in their secondary on the field. Look, I think it's pretty amazing that, hey, could you guys stop fighting over there, please? The dogs are wrestling. I'm trying to do a radio show here, or a digital show here. I think it's interesting that Evan Williams did not play in the opener on defense at all. And then they were like, look, we got to get this guy in the field. How are we going to do it? And he has earned that opportunity, and now he is rewarding them for being smart enough to do that. So those two guys in particular, obviously McKinney's been great. You know, I still don't think we've seen what their pass rush needs to be, no. Should be, ought to be, hopefully will be if you're a Packers fan. So that's kind of the one piece that still remains a little bit sketchy. But overall, you know, I think they're trending in the right direction, and this will, as you said, be a great test to see if they're actually legit or not.
Good point on the pass rush, and really good use of the term ought to be, but by you, Jason. Is that Stella or Sadie?
This is Stella.
Hi, Stella.
What do you think, buddy?
Welcome to the party. Yeah. What does Stella think of Evan Williams? You just highlighted him, but he has been phenomenal for them. And it feels they're a better football team when he's on the field.
Yeah, Stella's watched a lot of Evan Williams because she's the one who is sitting with me late at night when I'm writing and on a Friday night or Saturday night. And
I'm asking the right person then.
I had an Oregon game on, and so I was familiar with him, and quite frankly, the late Kyrie Jackson, who was the draft pick by the Vikings that was killed by the drunk driver. And that was what I think is interesting. I want to talk to Evan today about it a little bit, is like Oregon, because I have some, you know, obviously rudimentary knowledge of that team. They kind of pieced together a brand new secondary last year. And that's kind of what the Packers are doing, right? Like even their stud at safety and Xavier McKinney is also new to the team. Like Keyshawn Nixon is now playing a different position.
I did want to highlight that as well. Yeah.
So it's basically Jair, who he's not new to the team. Although when you miss 10 games and it's a new system, he's even kind of new in some weird way. So the fact that they have that part of their defense has been as impressive as it has been, when the guys up front are largely the same guys, like Devontae Wyatt, who they miss. And I don't think he's going to be back this week. I think it'll be another week before he's back. But, he's in his third year. Like all those guys have been around for a long time. And the fact that they're still not getting a pass rush, and I know we're containing Kyler Murray and blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line is, through 6 games, the totality of their pass rush picture is that the whole idea Jeff Hafley has is get pressure with 4 so we don't have to blitz. And their best pressure has been when they've had to blitz.
Yeah, that is the one major concern for sure defensively. But luckily they played some bad offenses. Arizona I don't view as a bad offense, but they made them look like a bad offense last week.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the one game where the pass rush was alive and well, it's against Tennessee. And that's not a ringing endorsement of how good your pass rush is when you're getting 8 sacks on Will Levis and a bad Tennessee offensive line. So obviously that is the biggest problem to solve defensively for Jeff Hafley and company. And hopefully we see it eventually. Can you go ahead and squash the rumors? The Packers aren't trading for Max Crosby.
Are there rumors to that effect?
I don't know that there are rumors, but fans are itching for it and asking for it. And I want to be respectful because I appreciate ideas and fandom, but it's not happening.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Max Crosby has made it very clear he wants to be in Las Vegas. He doesn't want to be traded. I believe he was saying that in comparison to Devontae and some of the guys that were allegedly making, quote, business decisions. Look, I like Max Crosby, too. He's a remarkable story of a guy who overcame addiction problems and this, that, and the next. And he's a stud. There's no doubt about it. But, like, I'm always intrigued because when teams are struggling, we expect them to have, like, these enormous fire sales.
Yeah.
Like, eventually, you're hoping that your team is good, so you don't give away everybody that's good and start completely over. And that's a guy that wants to be there. I think that feels a little bit like, you know, we can get Bonds and Griffey and we don't have to give up all that much from Seinfeld. But look, if you as a fan want Max Crosby on the Packers, yeah, great. That's a great thing to want. You should want him. He's really good. Maybe you can get TJ Watt too out of Pittsburgh.
We can get Bonds and Griffey. We don't have to give up that much. Good line by you. Yeah, look, the idea of signing Rashawn Gary to a massive contract is that he plays like a top five edge rusher. And he hasn't done that, right? He's on milk cartons all over the state of Wisconsin. Have you seen this man? So we will see. You know, 6 weeks in, he's been disappointing. You didn't like that analogy.
Well, no, I mean, that's, you know, it involves missing children and, you know, but look, the bottom line is that he has been AWOL. There's no doubt about it.
Do they still do that on milk cartons? I felt like that was an okay thing to make a joke about.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's fine. I mean, I was just going to let it go. I made a face, but I was just going to let it go. I wasn't going to address it, but
okay.
Yeah, I don't like the milk carton meme. I don't, that's fair. Now, that said, you know, I want to be fair to him. But at the same time, like, look, and I have not talked to him. He talked after the game. I was not in that scrum. I was talking to Evan Williams at the time. Like, one thing I don't like to do, and Sunday wasn't the game to talk about it anyway, because they really didn't, like, try to pressure Kyler Murray in a meaningful way. He had one where he was in position, I thought, to maybe get a sack, and then Murray kind of slipped away. But look, I believe that if you're going to write something, especially negative, you have to talk to the guy you're writing about. I've always believed that. It's not always an easy conversation. Sometimes you piss the guy off. Mm-hmm. But my thought process is, this guy is too good to be this unproductive, right? Because look, if we were just saying, well, he's only got one sack, that's one thing, but like his pressure numbers they've cratered compared to what he's been previously. So what's going on? And I keep going back to this, and I think Mike Wall was a little surprised that this got as much attention that he did. I don't know, did he do the Pack a Day podcast, or he did some podcast and broke down and was critical of Gary? And one of the lines that he had in there is, as an offensive lineman, he was talking about what he was doing in terms of his initial steps and whatever. And it was like, you're doing me a favor. Well, that's not good. So I would love to talk to Rashawn about this before I say or write anything more about him. But the bottom line is, the production's not there. And with a large contract comes large expectations. And as Jeff Hafley said a couple weeks ago, Rashawn Gary has higher expectations for himself. So I don't think it's unreasonable to have that conversation with him.
Yeah, that's well said. Let's go to the kicker. Braden Arvidsson, you mentioned it earlier, missed a kick, another one, in last week's game against Arizona. Made a couple, too, but finishes his Packers career 12-17. The Packers sign veteran kicker Brandon McManus, who obviously has played 10 years in the NFL, 9 with Denver, won Super Bowl 50 in Denver, played last year in Jacksonville, has been a free agent this offseason while navigating a tumultuous offseason, which involved lawsuits and all the in-betweens. The NFL did an investigation last week and said he was free to sign with teams. Ultimately, the Packers go ahead and sign McManus earlier this week. He will be the kicker for them this upcoming weekend against the Houston Texans. do you view this kicking issue, which has gone on for over a year and a half now, right? You did a season of Anders Carlson last year. You do an off season with Anders Carlson this year. And then you have Braden Arvidsson for the first 6 weeks. Do you view this controversy and situation kind of over and done with now that they've addressed it with a veteran? Or is it more of a Band-Aid to you?
Oh, this to me, this is a Band-Aid.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if they think Alex Hale, their international pathway player, is the guy that's going to solve this permanently a year from now. I know they really like him. But look, first of all, kudos to Goody for saying, okay, enough is enough. Also, kudos to Goody for being honest and saying, look, if this guy didn't have this incident, he wouldn't have been available. Also, kudos to Goody for not dragging his feet, right? Like, you know, they had Chad Ryland in for a workout the previous week, didn't sign him right away. He signs with the Cardinals, fills in for their kicker, and makes all of his kicks while their guy was missing one again. You know, if you count the one that I still can't believe was wiped out by that hokey penalty on Jeffrey Simmons, he missed a kick in every game except one. And he made up for it by missing two in the Vikings game. That's why you got rid of Anders Carlson, is because it wasn't because he missed all of his kicks. It was that he always missed a kick in a game. 10 of the last 12 games, including the playoffs. And I really like Rich Bisaccia. I enjoy our back and forth. I think he's a fun character and a decent human. But like when I brought that up to him a couple weeks ago, he was like, well, we gave Anders an entire year. Like I was being unreasonable to suggest that this guy's no better than the guy that he gave up on. And my issue with that is that then don't draft Anders in the first place. Use that. Look, we know that there's been a bunch of sixth round picks that turned out to be good players. Carl Brooks is one of them right now, right? He's been really productive. I always think of Micah Hyde, who was a sixth round pick and now has been reincarnated as Evan Williams. But I don't like, if you're not willing to stick with a guy for more than a year, then he shouldn't have drafted him. Right. And, yes, some rookie kickers are good right away. Mason Crosby, Ryan Longwell in Packers history, both of them, right? But more often than not, you're like Brandon McManus, who was undrafted, entered the league in 13 with the Colts, didn't make it there, goes to camp the following summer with the Giants. They don't want him either. They trade him to the Broncos. And oh, by the way, the Broncos tried to give Connor Barth the job at one point during his tenure too. He's a kickoff specialist, and then he gets the kicking job back, and then he obviously kicks three field goals in the Super Bowl. So my point is that, you know, and Goody admitted it flat out at the, you know, at the end of training camp that he's not patient enough with specialists. Like again, the kicker that the punter that they drafted a few years ago, he's now the punter for
Scott,
the
Scott, J.K. Scott.
Yeah, J.K. Scott. Yes. He's a pretty good punter. Now he's punting in warm weather. I get all that. But like by Goody's own admission, he's developed now. Well, I would rather have guys that develop by missing kicks or punting poorly for someone else and then get them once they've figured it out. Right. Because I think Anders Carlson is still going to be a kicker in this league.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a good one eventually. He wasn't last year. I get it. But, again, like Brandon, here's the other thing about Brandon McManus. And look, we all spent plenty of time asking questions about the incident on the flight to London and all that other stuff. Here's the thing about him. If he's great from under 50 yards. His career percentage is 90.3% from 49 and in. He's 54.2% from 50 and beyond. So it's not like you've added a guy that if the game comes down to a 56-yarder, it's a 50-50 proposition. And the really good guys aren't that anymore, right? Those guys are 75, 80% from 50-plus now. So he is a stopgap, but once you start down the kicking carousel path and you've had six different guys compete for the job, since the start of training camp, you're just grasping, some might say groping, at straws at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. I view this as an upgrade.
Is that worse than the milk carton one?
I think so, yeah. this is an upgrade, right?
Yeah, sure, but how big of an upgrade is it? You didn't get Adam Vinatieri.
No.
Right?
Well, I don't know if that's an upgrade anymore.
I know Justin Tucker is struggling. He has not been Justin Tucker so far this year, but that dude's got a track record, right? I mean, he's over 90% every year.
One of the greatest ever, yeah. No, you're right about that.
It's an upgrade, but it's not a major upgrade.
When you read into the philosophy of this move, though, Jason, is this a move by Goody saying, hey, I understand how good this team is. We have championship expectations. We can't let a kicker lose a game for us, right? That's why he made the move?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
As you like to say, that was very well said.
Thanks. Do I like to say
You're
that? Yeah, I guess I do say that occasionally.
I say it a lot.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I say a lot of good things.
It's fair. What do you make of these uniforms they're wearing? White out? You like them?
So my buddy Dave asked me if I was going to wear all white on Sunday.
Are you going to?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I'm going to.
Are you going to the game?
I am not.
So like white pants, white shirt, like white top hat, white shoes?
Yeah, so luckily enough, the Packers Pro Shop sent me a little care package back in August with the white hat and the white shirt, so I have that part figured out. I don't have white.
I don't
own white pants though, so I do need to figure that part out.
Well, it's only Thursday, so get to a Goodwill.
Yeah,
get it cheap.
Fair point. I'll only wear them once.
Maybe some bell bottoms.
I think you should wear all white.
I think you should.
I think you should.
No, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
I was thinking about going Apple. Maybe so going all black.
All black. I like that move. It's what I'm wearing today.
I'm just going to wear what I normally wear. Look, I think this is great. I think they're extremely lucky. I know there's some crazy people in the world who seem to think that the government can control the weather. So I don't think the Packers can, for the record, nor do I think the government can. But they're extremely lucky. Like, when they went with this whiteout business and they put it in October, I mean, had they put it in October last week, you would have just seen a bunch of people in like ponchos trying to stay dry.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
But it's supposed to be 73 and sunny on Sunday. Couldn't be more perfect for your fans to go white out. I do think this is what, and I'm not old man yelling at the cloud guy. So I don't dislike the idea of doing stuff.
I like wherever this is headed.
Well, the players are excited about this. They think it's fun. So if you do something that engages your players and gets them excited, count me in, man. Right? Like that's part of your job. Now, do I think it's a cash grab to get people to buy more merch?
It's the NFL.
Of course it is.
Right.
Right. But again, I am curious though. Among the things that I'm very curious about, A, how many fans will actually do it, right? Because, I mean, let's be honest, when you choose white, you know, there's some perils there, right? Like, you're going to get stadium secret sauce on your shirt when you're eating your hot dog.
Yeah, I don't wear white for the most part. I stay in it.
So that's one.
Yeah.
Two, we're going to have a very, very, if everyone does get involved, we're going to have a very, very, very easy time of identifying who sold their tickets.
It's a good point.
Right? Because there's going to be blue and red splotches all throughout the stadium.
Yeah.
So this ain't Penn State. We're going to see that throughout. The Minnesota game and even the Indianapolis game, I was legitimately surprised how many fans there were of the opponents. So that'll be interesting to me too. But, you know, the one thing I felt a little bit stupid yesterday, which is not new.
Here we go.
But so I remember Aaron Rodgers way back when we used to do the show, the good old days, talking about how as a quarterback, certainly you have your progressions, right? But what you're always looking for are flashes of color. And so when the Packers are at home, your flash of green generally, and on the road, flashes of white. And I asked Jordan Love, you know, does the fact that they're wearing white helmets change that at all? Like, I would think that the yellow helmet is, you know, it's pretty noticeable, right? And so if you're scanning the field quickly and you see that flash of that color, you know that it's your guy. And now it's white. Is it different? And he, you know, he basically said, Jason, you're an idiot. But which is fine. But I was curious about that. And so he said, you know, they changed helmets at Utah State. He doesn't think it's a big deal, but it is different. Like, it's just going to look different. And for him, you know, I don't know. The zinger I should have come back with was, well, with the number of interceptions you've thrown, it doesn't really seem to matter. But whoa. I'm not quite there yet. I'm whoa. Not quite there yet with him of busting balls like that. So I did not do that. But that would have been the comeback if he and I had a couple more years together. Maybe if I'd have been in the locker room during COVID, I'd know him well enough to. Because I will say this, he does not let me live down the helicopter beat writer.
Oh, he doesn't.
Thing of, oh no, like he was giving me a hard time after the game on Sunday when he had that one run and he slid and he was, you know, he's like, was that what you wanted? Yeah, that is what I wanted. Like, not only because I like you as a guy, but more importantly, as I have told you, they could have missed the Super Bowl because of the concussion Rodgers got in 2010. Like, if not for Deshaun Jackson's punt return that kept them eligible for the playoffs, the concussion ends their season that ended in a Super Bowl championship. You are too important to risk yourself.
It's well said. It's well said. All right, let's go to four downs. First down, staying on the whiteout train, what's your favorite Packers alternate uniform? Not a lot to choose from.
None. Don't like them. I want them to do something totally forward-thinking instead of always throwback-y.
Okay.
Like, now, I can tell you the one where they had their numbers, the Acme Packer ones that were, like, blue and gold, which I dig. I the color scheme, I'm fine with. But they had like the yellow circle with the number inside of it. Those were really hard to read from the seventh floor. So I hated that.
Okay.
So that one I was not a fan of, but I want them to try something different. There's all kinds of people that design these uniforms that they could do and they've never done them. So I'm out on all of them.
All right, fair enough. Let's go to second down. Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams reunited in New York as Devontae Adams traded from the Raiders, as we mentioned briefly a bit earlier. This is fascinating to me, man. I am watching the Jets anytime they are on television going forward. Curious if you view it the same way. Obviously, it's kind of like, you know, the Packers of the past are all in New York, and there's a couple Badgers ties there too with Joe Tippmann and Braylon Allen. It's a team that has my attention.
Yeah, and they're 2-4, and they've fired their head coach, and they've stripped their offensive coordinator of his duties. Aaron Rodgers resents the idea that he had anything to do with this. I was really disappointed that we were robbed of that last year by him rupturing his Achilles. We did a lot of the Devontae Adams news broke on Tuesday while we were. Like early in our show. And I said it, look, I understand we're not a New York Jets centric show, but and the numbers, you know, again, I don't know a lot about streaming numbers, but it sure looked like there were a lot of people watching and listening. So I got a lot of negative feedback via social media and the YouTube chat, saying we don't want to talk about this, talk about the Packers. And I get that. I respect it. I look, we're happy that you came. But I'm in. Like, I'm not going to spend – we're not going to have the Jets recap every Monday of what they do. But I am most definitely in. And with Devontae there now, again, I think they should just say, hey, man, we got you, Devontae. We stripped your guy of the play-calling duties. You just be the offensive coordinator. Hey, why don't you even be the head coach? Whatever, man. Like, let's see what you can do, right? That's what I would love for Woody Johnson to do that. They would never actually come out and say that they were doing that, but I'm in. I want to see what they can pull off because it has been a train wreck to this juncture.
Yeah, it's the greatest show on of reality television, man. I mean, it is unbelievable. Mike Williams did not practice yesterday due to being thrown under the bus by his quarterback. Injury sustained by the bus. So anyway, let's move on.
That's the best one we've had today.
You think?
Yeah, it's better than the milk carton and the girlfriend. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Not a high bar we set on this show.
No, fair.
Let's go third down. Which rookie do you want to see more of for the Green Bay Packers? Because obviously we've mentioned Edgerrin Cooper and Evan Williams, and it seems like they're a better football team when those guys are on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a rookie you want to see more of 6 weeks in?
Travis Glover.
Okay.
No. He's a very nice fellow. I say hello to him every day. He's always in his locker, always available. We just don't have any reason to speak to him generally. But look, Evan Williams and Edgerrin Cooper are the answers, right? I mean, you know, what I was bothered by from the Romeo Doubs saga was the fact that it punctured a storyline that I thought was really interesting. And now I'm trying to figure out how to renovate it, which was they're getting a hell of a lot of guys involved. Like, again, you know, when you were a kid or maybe even before you were born and I was covering the team, like the fourth wide receiver never played.
Right.
Fourth wide receiver played special teams. Now, Chewy, I think, would say Terry Mickens was that guy. Not only do they play six wide receivers, not only did they play three running backs, not only did they play, I mean, when Luke Musgrave was, before he was injured, they played all three of the tight ends. Now, obviously, my guy Ben Sims, my Chipotle buddy, is playing more, but they rotate those guys in. But on defense, you didn't see what they've been doing, right? Like, that was just, you had your starting 11. You had your nickel guy who would come in. Maybe you would change a linebacker for nickel too, but otherwise that was it. And instead, they go through their defensive line rotation really deep. They've got Edgerrin Cooper rotating in at linebacker. They've got, you know, they've completely shuffled the deck in the secondary. Like, we went from Carrington Valentine being their number two corner to Carrington Valentine not playing a defensive snap. And I would argue this, you know, this is how it's supposed to work on any team, that the best guys play. Doesn't matter where you're drafted, doesn't matter what you've done in the past. If you're playing well, you deserve to play. And Keyshawn Nixon is playing at a level that they want him out at outside corner. That was never something even being considered. They did it out of necessity because Corey Ballantyne didn't play well against the Vikings. And so I love that they're doing that. The issue, of course, is does that create some waxy buildup with certain players? And obviously with Romeo, despite his less than stellar denial, I still think that was part of it. I don't believe him that was not part of his dissatisfaction. You know, does it create other issues? I mean, here's another example. Like, Sean Ryan has done nothing to merit not playing every down. But they really like Jordan Morgan, and so they're rotating him in anyway. Like, teams don't normally do this. This feels very different that they are doing in every way possible. And I personally think it's better because you get everybody on your team engaged.
Yeah, I think that's the part of having a young and creative staff, right? When you look at the ages of these coaches, I would imagine one of the youngest coaching staffs in the league as a whole, but I don't know if there's a stat out there that proves that. But anyway, fourth and final, Dan, we've got about 3 minutes left, Jason, in our free Zoom session here. D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of the Texans, said, Jordan Love is the best quarterback we've faced this year. They did face Josh Allen 2 weeks ago. Is that a one-week mindset, or do you truthfully believe what he's saying?
Look, I want to answer this in a way that makes it very clear that I think Jordan Love is a good, soon to be very good, possibly great quarterback. Okay. But the amount of oxygen that this got, maybe I'm just an old curmudgeon now.
Well, you are, but yes.
But like, if they had played the Packers the week that they played the Bills, and then this week they were playing the Bills, do you think he would have said, yeah, Josh Allen's really good, but the best quarterback we've played this year is Jordan Love? Get out of here. They're both, let's be honest, they're both good.
They're both good.
Right? And quite frankly, Josh Allen at this point has accomplished more. So, come on. I can't tell you how many times I've been asked this since he said it with all of our various shows. And I'm like, come on, we know better than this. Flip the schedule and see who he would have said this week. Yeah, I'd like to give Josh Allen some bulletin board material, everybody. He's good, but boy, that Jordan Love guy, he's really good. Come on. They're both very good, and Jordan Love is only continuing to ascend. Right. And I love, and we talked about this last week, and I know we're almost out of time, but I love that he's starting to push the envelope sometimes with negative results, right? Like, the interceptions or whatever else, like he's feeling himself now as a quarterback. He's not just paint by numbers. This is what I'm supposed to do with this play. I'm trying other stuff. That's how you grow. And sometimes it doesn't work out, but he has to do that to continue to grow into the franchise quarterback that he's going to be.
I don't want to get kicked off. So you can find Jason on Twitter at Jason J. Wilde. Find me on Twitter at Alex_Strofe. We are with you the 10 o'clock hour of Green Bay game day on Sunday, leading you up to kickoff between the Texans and the Packers. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, I walked the dogs, and so I've left the hat on the whole time. I'm not sure that was a good look for the video. So you're welcome. Bye.